9 letters and a string of numbers. That's what a mitar looks like the first time somebody puts one in front of you. It looks like a ransom note. It looks like your keyboard threw up, and I watched a student stare at one for a full minute once before he looked up at me and said, "Is this English?" Kind of. It's the language weather speaks, and by the end of the next 20 minutes you're gonna read it like it is. This is Radio Hangar, I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern, the show where we take one thing that makes flying hard and break it into pieces you can actually use. Today we're decoding the METAR, the Meteorological Aerodrome Report, the coded observation sitting at the front of every weather briefing you'll ever pull. Here's why I want to spend a whole segment on this one thing. Everybody wants to jump to the forecast. What's it gonna do? But the METAR isn't a forecast. The METAR is the truth. It's what's actually happening at that airport right now. Measured, reported, no guessing. And if you can't read the truth, you've got no business betting on the forecast. So let's walk through this together. Before we get into it, a quick shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot? Instrument? Commercial? They've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter, the ones your logbook remembers, but nobody else sees. AviationSoul.com. All right, let me build a real one for you. Piece by piece, I'm gonna say it the way it prints, and then we'll take it apart. We'll use my home field. Picture the report starting with the word METAR, then the station identifier, then a chunk of numbers, then the wind, then visibility, then a little cluster of weather codes, then the sky, then two numbers with a slash between them, then the altimeter. That's the whole skeleton. Same order, every single time, all over the country. That's the gift of it. Once you know the order, you always know what you're looking at even before you decode it. Let's take them one at a time. First, the station. 4 letters, and in the lower 48, the first letter is almost always K. K then 3 letters. KLAX is Los Angeles. KORD is Chicago O'Hare. KJFK is Kennedy. Your home field probably has a K and then the 3 letters you already know by heart. That letter K is just the region code. Don't overthink it. See the 4 letters, you know whose weather you're reading. Next comes the time, 6 digits, and then a Z. And here's the first place people trip. That Z means Zulu Coordinated Universal Time, not your local clock. So a report stamped 1753 Zulu was taken at 1753 Zulu, and you have to do the math back to your time zone to know how old it is. Why do we all use Zulu? Because weather doesn't care what time zone you're standing in. And a pilot flying from Denver to Kansas City crosses one clock for everybody. Learn your local offset from Zulu cold. In the summer, Eastern is 4 hours behind Zulu. Pacific is 7, know yours. And notice what that time gives you. Age. A METAR is usually issued about once an hour, near 53 past. But when the weather's changing fast, the station kicks out a special. And you'll see the letters SPECI in there telling you this one came early because something changed. When you see a special report, sit up. The airport is telling you it didn't want to wait for the top of the hour. Now the wind. This is where the METAR starts talking to the pilot instead of the meteorologist. You'll see 3 digits, then 2 digits, then the letters KT. The first 3 digits are the direction the wind is coming from, in degrees, and here's the catch that gets everybody. That direction is true north in the printed METAR. Not magnetic, but when the tower or the automated voice reads it to you over the radio, that same wind is given in magnetic. Same wind, 2 references, depending on whether you're reading it or hearing it. For lining up with a runway, you care about magnetic. So just know that the number on the page and the number in your headset might differ by a few degrees, and that's not an error, that's the reference. The next 2 digits after the direction are the speed in knots, and if you see the letter G in the middle, that's gust. 24015G25KT. Wind from 240 true 15 knots, gusting 25, that spread between the steady wind and the gust. That's the number that decides whether your crosswind landing is a non-event or a rodeo. Don't just read the steady wind and stop, read the gust. The gust is the one that's going to reach out and grab your wing on short final. 2 special ones here. If the wind is calm, you'll see the numbers all zeros, and if it's shifting all over the place, unable to pick a direction, you'll see the letters VRB for variable. Variable light wind on a hot afternoon means the airport can't tell you which runway to favor, so you'd better be watching the windsock yourself. Okay, visibility. In the US METAR, this prints in statute miles with the letters SM10. SM is 10 statute miles, which is code for it's gorgeous, you can see forever. When that number starts dropping, you start paying attention. 3 miles, 2 miles, and you'll see fractions written out like 1.5 or 3/4. The moment visibility drops below 3 miles and the ceiling drops with it, you have left plain vanilla VFR behind and you're into marginal territory. And that's a decision point, not a footnote. Now the fun part, the present weather codes. This is the cluster that looks the most like a foreign language, and it's actually the most logical piece of the whole thing once somebody hands you the key. It's built from an intensity sign and a couple of two-letter groups. A minus sign means light. A plus sign means heavy. No sign means moderate. Then the letters RA is rain, SN is snow, BR oddly is mist, that's a French holdover, and it means the visibility's coming down but hasn't hit fog yet. FG is fog, HZ is haze, DZ is drizzle, TS is thunderstorm, and TS is the one that should stop you cold. There are modifiers too, SH for showers. FZ for freezing, and freezing anything. FZRA, freezing rain, is about the most dangerous line a light airplane METAR can print, because that's ice bonding to your airframe the instant it touches. So a code that reads minus RABR decodes to light rain and mist. Say it out loud. Light rain, mist. It's not a cipher, it's shorthand, and now it's your shorthand. Then the sky condition, and this is the one every instrument student learns to love. The sky is reported in layers, and each layer is a three-letter code plus a height. The code tells you how much of the sky is covered. FEW is few, SCT is scattered, BKN is broken, OVC is overcast. And the three numbers after it are the height of that layer in hundreds of feet above the airport. So BKN007 means a broken layer at 700 feet. Broken or overcast is what we call a ceiling, because that's the lowest layer that's more than half covering the sky, and it's effectively a lid on your day. Add three zeros in your head, 007 becomes 700 feet. 250 becomes 25,000. Easy once you catch the rhythm. And if it's clear, the automated stations print SKC or CLR, or a code that just says nothing's down there below 12,000. Blue sky, go flying. Now, here's the pair of numbers I built this whole segment around. After the sky, you get two numbers with a slash between them, temperature slash dew point, both in Celsius. And if there's an M in front, that's minus below zero. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. Everybody reads the temperature and skips the dew point. Don't. The dew point is the temperature at which the air can't hold its moisture anymore, and it turns to visible water. Fog? Clouds, and the distance between those two numbers, the temperature and the dew point, we call it the spread. And the spread is one of the most quietly useful numbers on the entire report. When the temperature and the dew point are far apart, say 15 degrees Celsius over 2 degrees Celsius, that's a 13 degree spread. The air is dry, and fog is not your problem today. But when those two numbers start closing on each other, when you see something like 12 over 11, a 1 degree spread, the air is saturated, or about to be, and that airport is one temperature drop away from disappearing into fog. Let me make that real. Late afternoon, you're planning an evening flight home. You pull the METAR and the sky's clear, 10 miles, looks perfect, but the temperature is 14 and the dew point is 13. 1 degree spread. Now think about what happens after sunset. The sun goes down, the ground cools, the temperature falls, and the second it touches that dew point, the moisture that was invisible all afternoon condenses into radiation fog and fills that valley like somebody poured milk into it. The METAR said clear. The spread said don't count on it lasting. That's the difference between reading the words and reading the weather. The examiner is looking for exactly this on your check ride, by the way. Not just can you decode the symbols, can you look at a temperature dew point spread and tell them what the airport's going to do in 3 hours? That's the pilot they want to sign off, the one who sees the fog before it's there. Last piece. The altimeter setting. It prints as the letter A and 4 digits. A 3001 is a setting of 30.01 inches of mercury. That's the number you twist into your Kalsman window so your altitude is honest. Miss it by a tenth and you're off by about 100 feet. In the mountains, at night, near terrain, 100 feet is a real number. Set it every time. And after the altimeter, sometimes there's a remarks section kicked off by the letters R, M, K. That's where the station tucks in the extra detail. When a special report fired off, a more precise sea level pressure. Sometimes a note that a thunderstorm's building to the northwest. Don't ignore remarks. Remarks is where the observer or the automated station tells you the stuff that didn't fit the format. It's the margin notes, and the margin notes are often the whole story. So, let's put it back together, because a METAR read one letter at a time isn't the goal. Reading it as a sentence is the goal station, so I know where time, in Zulu, so I know how fresh, wind with the gust, so I know the runway and the workload, visibility, so I know if I can see. Weather codes, so I know what's falling out of the sky. Sky condition, so I know where the ceiling sits. Temperature over dew point, so I know the spread and what's coming. Altimeter, so I fly the right altitude. Remarks, so I catch what the format couldn't hold. Read left to right every time, same order. And the ransom note turns into a paragraph. And that paragraph tells you the single most honest thing in your whole briefing. Not what somebody thinks the weather will do. What it is doing right now on that field. Here's the takeaway for your next flight. Before you ever open the forecast, pull the METAR for your departure, your destination, and one field along the way. Read all three out loud, then find the temperature dew point spread on each one and say whether it's opening up or closing down. Do that 10 flights in a row, and I promise you'll stop seeing letters and start seeing weather. And you'll catch the fog while it's still just two numbers getting close. Learning to fly is hard, and it is not cheap, and nobody hands you this stuff cleanly. But this one, you can practice sitting on your couch for free. The observations are public. Pull one up tonight. The format and the codes I walked through today come straight out of the FAA's Aviation Weather Handbook and the National Weather Service coding standards, and it's worth reading the source yourself. There's more at radiohanger.com if you want to keep going. That's the METAR. Next time it prints in front of you, don't flinch. Just read it left to right and let the airport tell you the truth. I'm Pattern. Go read the sky.